and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We have been buying and selling gold and silver for over 20 years. We're pretty good at it. We're knowledgeable. We've been doing it a long time. We like to help people make money. We like to help people save money, and that's kind of our area of expertise. I have some special clients I take pretty good care of, and we've just had a lot of good customers over the years, and we just appreciate that and look forward to many more. I personally, I'll finish this first, but basically, folks, we do balanced portfolios. Everything is precious metals based. I can guide you different directions if you're looking to get into other things. If you have substantial quantities of money, I can guide you into different real estate stuff. The real problem is when you go into all the assets and investing, folks, it's frustrating. I like precious metals, hard assets, just because you know what you got, and it maintains its wealth. It slowly creeps up. I mean, in this economy right now with markets bouncing all over the place, at least your metals, they stay steady. You know what you have. And coins are, there's a solidification aspect to them that they're doing very well, good quality coins. But you've got things yo-yoing all over the place right now. And not just the stock markets, folks. I'm seeing like this global police state thing coming. And it concerns me, and I'll talk about it here in a minute. So Coins Plus is always buying and selling rare coins and collections, and we help people preserve their wealth. And we've always been precious metals portfolios experts. And we have the highest rated privately held depository service in the U.S., at least the Western U.S., and we also deal in diamonds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We are a high volume, low margin dealer, and our motto is honesty, integrity, and professionalism. So, one thing I have to bounce into here is, first I'll say I've discussed in the past my request for Google reviews. And what we're doing is if you give us a review, we'll give you, if you give us a 5-star review on Google, we'll give you like a silver Morgan silver dollar, or an ounce of silver. And then if you do 3, like on Google and Yahoo and Yelp or whatever, we'll give you 2 Morgan dollars and 2 ounces of silver. Sounds like a lot, but I'll tell you, our reputation matters to us, and it matters. So along those lines, where my mind is kind of drifting is, I brought this up here recently, and I kind of mumbled and talked about somebody leaving negative, fake, bad reviews for us, okay? And and that's discouraging when you own a business and you spend your whole life building your reputation and you get this kind of stuff going on. So I guess I can just kind of confess what was going on, because some things have changed that are public now. There was this guy, we've been in our area for about 22 years, and there's this guy, I don't even know his last name. It's it's Dave something. But anyway, he opens up this little company up the road called Gold Bay, okay? And he's always been one of these real big mouth kind of people, just always real obnoxious and just real loud and just belligerent and, everything the Bible tells us not to be. And I don't know where to go with this, but basically he starts buying and buying, and pretty soon he's first of all, he jumps into an area that's established, I've established this area of town pretty well. And he starts buying stolen stuff. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, we knew about it. Everyone knew about it. And he starts becoming a fence for stolen goods. And at the same time, he's literally known for buying stolen goods. And yet he's up the street getting people to give him this fake reviews on eBay and these fake negatives against us and what so and whatnot. And you're following me, I'm sure. And it's frustrating when you own a business and you're dealing with this kind of stuff. And you don't, you know, it's just frustrating. So long story short is, it was a bummer for me. And, I spent some time on my knees and, I spent some time on my knees reading through Psalms 37, which is, my, life chapter of the Bible when I went through some real tough times back in the 90s. God gave me that book of the Bible as my life chapter. And the point of it is that God is faithful, God is basically just, and that he will, he will dole out recompense. Basically that people will not get away with evil forever for good. And I was spending a lot of time praying about it with God, like, Lord, you know, it's frustrating to know all these bad things are going on and under your nose, and to know that you say that you're, you know, faithful and just and you take care of these things, and, you know, the unfaithful will be reconciled, et cetera, et cetera. And it was shortly after that, and I mean, trust me, folks, it was something that was really getting on my nerves, because we were getting people, I mean, and this place was, his place was just this seedy little dump, and there he was using some unbelievably unscrupulous practices. People would come in with gold, and they'd say, well, I'm going to shop this around, like a gold bracelet. So he'd weigh it and say, okay, well, it has $150 worth of gold in it, so go shop around. So then they go shop around, and we'd say, okay, we'll pay you $135. He'd say, no, gold base said it, they'd pay $150. Well, we finally figured out, no, they didn't say they'd pay $150. They said it had $150 worth of gold in it. So then they'd wait until someone went and got other offers. Ours was always the highest. And then they'd say, well, what other offers did you get? You know, and then they'd say, well, I'll pay this. And the people would say, you said it was worth $150. And they'd say, no, I said the gold in it was worth $150. I never said that's what I'd pay. And so it was just all these games were constantly going on. It's just so unscrupulous. And so what we've, you know, done, like when we got word that the police were yanking their license, you know, they've got a going out of business sale sign up now. And he's been there a few years, but when we got a word of that, I mean, there was some hi-fis that went around this place, and a lot of God is loyal, God is just, God is faithful. But, you know, there were literally people who'd come in the store, and we'd go, why would you even go there? And they'd say, oh, his Google ratings are higher than yours, and ours are like 3.7, but we've got, you know, like 70 Google ratings. But then you get, every time we get three good ones, then we get these random, weird, negative ones. And now we know where they were coming from, because a couple people who were associated with him confessed to us that they were using fake Google identities or other people's Google identities to just constantly run our business down. So that's been a big part to us. So that's a total praise the Lord. That's God is faithful. That's what I try to explain to people in this business. There's so many things can look one way on the surface. And folks, I'll tell you what, the internet, what a crock. I mean, we have a brick and mortar facility probably one of the finest facilities in the nation for our industry, built from the ground up with massive security in mind. We have 22 years of solid experience of buying and selling unbelievable quantities of precious metals, unbelievable quantities, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, and we've had so many satisfied customers and all this stuff. But you know what? When you go on eBay or on Google, folks, it's all gone. Google, you can't even tell if you think you're shopping or if you think you're researching stuff on Google, you are not. You are just being fed whatever someone's paying for. And I was explaining that to my wife the other night. We were looking something up and she goes, oh, look. I'm on the same page as you. Isn't that weird? And I said, no. I said, that's Google. I said, that's what I hate about it. I said, everything is propaganda. Everything. Everything you see on there, everything you read on there is propaganda. It's paid for. None of it's organic. If you want to know anything about anything, then they have all these blogs. And I'll tell you, you start reading these blogs. And have you ever noticed that? For those of you who use, you know, who do web search as much, the blogs are always a long time ago. And for some reason, all these people were interested in discussing the same topic on one day. And you have all these weird personalities coming at it from every angle. And it's all fake. I mean, you don't even realize it's fake. And there's always, you know, some, they've got every extreme on there. And then, you know, the thread is closed and there's no more discussion of it. And I mean, folks, it really concerns me. I am getting super heavy hearted about what's going on in this world with, I mean, for criminy's sakes, folks, they're confiscating knives in London. I mean, this is the problem. And we're like saying in New York, we should do the same thing. Folks, I carry a knife. I carry an Emerson tactical knife. It is the best tool. I use the thing 50 times a day. I use it all the time. I use it for all kinds of tasks. I use it. It's got ATS hardened steel. I use it as a screwdriver. I use it to pry things. I use it to cut open boxes. I use it to bang on stuff. I mean, I use it to, you know, all kinds of stuff. I use it to open packs of paper, you know, toilet paper or paper towels or, you know, you name it, I use it. And now it's getting where they're going to start confiscating knives all over the place because confiscating guns isn't enough in England. So now they've got people murdering people with knives. They have these knife killings. So now they're going to confiscate knives. Folks, do you see what's going on? And so what do? Oh, we better follow suit. Wait a minute. We're following suit with the country we broke away from. Folks, this is a prime example of how memories are so short. The human memory is so short. We think that we've literally changed. Human nature never changes. Do you know that? That mankind repeats himself over and over and over. Great Britain got too big and too powerful. And they started to oppress their subjects, we'll say. And they started to implement the church with the government, which is in many ways what's happening now, although the church is now becoming this pantheistic, churchless church, which is mentioned in Timothy 3. But, you know, we broke away. It was bad. It was oppressive. And we were junkies for freedom. And I met the other day with a guy from a couple guys from a conservative organization. And, you know, we were talking about my perspectives and my views. It was the John Birch Society, and their John Birch Society is very conservative. They're kind of grassroots conservative. They've done a wonderful job over the years of being the conservative root. But of course, the media and everybody else, I think it's Buxley that owns National Review or whatever, has labeled them these radical anti-communists. Well, when they were formed in the 1950s, yeah, they were anti-communists because people, at least back then, people admitted communism was bad. Now we embrace communism as good. But when I was talking with these gentlemen, the term libertarian came up. I said, I'm probably 90% libertarian and, you know, 10% whatever. And then, and that freaked him out. Oh my gosh, you know, why aren't you a Republican? Why am I a Republican? But the thing is they're like, oh, you, I can't believe you'd say you're libertarian. I said, why? Well, you know, libertarian, the root word of that is liberal. No, the root word is liberty. I said, how about you call me a Jeffersonian liberal? And then, of course, that got the guy all hot and bothered. And, folks, if you've listened to me, I think you know I'm about as conservative as a guy gets. But this is how people don't know history. A Jeffersonian liberal, I mean, Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, you know, what his liberality was freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Folks, that's what we're here for. That's what it's all about. That's why I'm talking to you here today freely on the radio. Think of all the countries over the past that have gotten, you know, shut down or come under communist rule. Think of all of the people who've been squelched and or had to broadcast from secret locations on mountaintops to get the word out, to get the truth out, to, you know, to maintain a movement, to keep people fired up against a tyrannical government. Folks, we are not meant by God to be controlled like caged animals. We are meant to be free. God created us to be free. We have individual talents. We have individual gifts, and we have individual desires and goals. Each one of us is unique. God made us this way on purpose. And it is very important that we realize that we, you know, and the ability to protect yourself is not a bad thing. I'll tell you, this garbage, folks, I'll just get it off my chest. This Parkland High School shooting, okay, I am so sick of the CNN, I guess, based lies on that. Do you know what a filthy, rotten, wretched bunch of lies that is? Okay, here's the deal. You have a kid who literally gets called about like 39 times. People call and say, this kid is a crazy threat. He's going to shoot and kill people. 31 times. Folks, think of it. 31 times the sheriffs or FBI visited him. 31 times they physically visited him. He was a whack nut. He was making comments and threats that are over the top. I would be curious if on a national basis anybody has ever been visited by the FBI more times. I literally think there's a possibility he could have the record. Unbelievable. And then, so the guy's as nuttier than they get, right? He should never have a gun. They knew he had guns. They knew he had assault rifles, everything. And yet, nobody did a thing. And then he goes into a mass shooting. And he goes and he herds kids and he just starts to unload. And these coward police hide outside and set up a perimeter. And then the sheriff of the county, that Sheriff Israel's his name, you know, he acts cocky. I mean, he acts half loopy himself. I mean, he's a weird duck. He should be out of there by now. The governor of that state should have yanked him quicker than quick. I think the governor's Rick Scott or whatever. That Sheriff Israel needs to be gone. You know, he's mouthing off, he's cocky, he's arrogant, he's rude, folks, come on. You know, and then the blame rests on guns. Folks, look at what they're doing now in London, confiscating knives. Do you know, this is going to blow your mind, do you know that human beings are sinful? And do you know that when they set their mind to something, they're going to get it done? Do you know that when you take away everything somebody has, pretty much like in prison, they learn how to make other kinds of weapons? Do you know that prisoners make shanks or killing devices, long, sharp, rock-hard, you know, tools out of newspaper? And they mix it with other chemicals or different kinds of food that hardens. And I don't know. But, I mean, people will figure it out. You, for years and years and years and years, we have had to fortify. We have had to protect ourselves. We have had to, defend ourselves. It's just sadly part of the sinful nature of the earth. Taking away weapons has never worked. It's only done by tyrannical governments. They, during the, some of the emperor reigns in Japan, it was illegal to own weapons. And so what happens was, this is where a lot of the Japanese martial arts came in. As a lot of you may know, I studied martial arts extensively for a very long time. That's all I did in depth for decades. And that's been a while, and I'm old now, and I probably couldn't hurt a flea. But there was a time that I had black belts and all this other stuff, and I supposedly was pretty good at it. So some might say. So the Japanese martial arts, karate means art of the empty hand. And what they used to do was, when you've heard of nunchakas or nunchucks, people call them, where they have the two pieces of wood connected by a piece of chain, or, you know, they have sickles and they have kabos, which are a big piece of wood with a handle off the side that the cops use. Though, you know, those are all based on tools, okay? So the kabo, the big stick with the handle off the side the police use, that was based on the handle from a grinding wheel, okay? The nunchakas or nunchucks were made for beating like wheat and rice. The, you know what a sickle's for? It was for cutting, a sieve for cutting wheat. And there's other, then they had like throwing stars, which, you know, simply were just pieces of, you know, like sprockets. They were not allowed to own weapons. If the emperor came through town and found that they had weapons, they would be murdered and killed and hung and all these things. So they would, and the leaders and rulers back then became tyrannical. Once people are unarmed, and a band of marauders or leaders or rulers comes through and they're armed, guess what happens? Bad things happen. When people can't defend themselves, really bad things happen. Women get raped. Properties get burnt down. Things get stolen. You get the picture. So what they did, so monks, Japanese monks, and I don't have the year, but I can tell you, it was a long time ago. Japanese monks trained themselves in martial arts. They trained themselves with the tools they had, how to defend themselves, and how to be able to fight against these tyrannical rulers. But it all comes from the disarmament. All tyrannical leadership wants to disarm its people. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of these movements start out, think of the history of freedom, okay? How does a freedom movement usually work? The way a freedom movement usually works is like this. You get somebody who's respected, you know, let's back up a notch. You for freedom, for a real rally cry or rebellion or, you know, whatever you want to call it, for freedom movement to exist, a group of people have to be oppressed, okay? And they have to be under tyrannical leadership. Once they're under this tyrannical leadership, then somebody rises up and says, folks, this is wrong. bad things are happening to us. So then what happens is this freedom fighter, or whatever you want to call him, rebel or, you know, patriot, whatever, he gets guys to band together with him to do what? To arm up and fight back. In most cases through history, what happens is when they arm up to fight back, now they're criminals. The minute they arm up and the minute they declare their dedication to you know, be, quote, freedom fighters, the minute they're criminals. Okay? And so you got to be careful with the term freedom fighter, too, because now our media and our government is especially being deceived by that a lot. And we have a little bit of Syria to talk about today, too. So what happens is you get these freedom fighters that they arm up. They get a group of men and they begin to arm up. They build a militia. Okay, and then that militia grows. And then the big tyrannical government comes in and tries to squelch the militia. And they kill people and they get gruesome and they get meaner. And they do horrible things, and they mistreat family members, and they hang people from the trees. Folks, this has been going on for thousands of years. This history story, this is repetitive over and over again through history. It's always the term power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Tyrannical leaders are not good. Dictatorships do not do well. That's why, you know, you've got the five forms of government, that basically always, you know, they lead to either severe, totalitarianism or, a republic. There's nothing in between. And so, you know, we've got this thing going on in Syria, which I'll talk about in a minute, but you've got this tendency, so as it rises up, and it rises up. You become more and more and more. You get more and more of a rash rebellion. You get the leadership government to become harsher and nastier and more demanding, and it comes to the point where there is a point of no return, where the freedom fighters, the rebels, they can't. There is no concession. Things just get bad. I think you follow me, okay? This is the root of America. This is the root of Rome. This is the root of so many countries, even in the Middle East. It always starts with this, you know, with a rebellion. And so as this rebellion rises up, eventually what happens is this is even what happened in Rwanda. If the freedom fighters are successful, then what you have is a new government. You have a new government. Let's just say hypothetically, if they aren't successful, they get squelched, right? They get shut down and it's over. At that point, we know what happens then. People die. Bad things happen. Things get ugly. It is over. But let's just say they're successful. When they're successful, what happens? When they're successful, you have a new government that wants freedom for everyone, and this new government has to remain armed to protect itself, to secure itself. And this new government will encourage its citizenry to be armed and trained, right? How many? There's really no such thing as freedom fighters or a freedom-based government that doesn't want its people armed, because you have to fight for freedom. Freedom is not free. So then what happens over time is, you know, governments change, people get bored, they get tired maybe of their leadership, they decide they want a different leader, and then it comes along where they, you know, maybe they depose somebody or they decide to create a democratic form of election or whatever. And then eventually what happens is somebody secures power, they start to lose popularity, and they don't want to give it up, and all of a sudden they want to control the people. The people rise up, and the next thing you know, they are confiscating weapons and controlling the people through violence again. It just, the cycle goes over and over again. The one thing that our founding fathers hoped and thought they did here in America was create a set of ground rules that were non-negotiable and non-debatable. The problem is with the Parkland shootings that they have not failed. They have not stopped going after guns. They have not put any responsibility where it lies. I mean, for goodness sakes, you get warned about somebody 86 times or, you know, whatever, 31 times. And then you do nothing. And then they do a shooting in a school, the most innocent of children. And these coward cops put up a you know, what do they call it? They, you know, they build a boundary outside or a perimeter. What is that? So somebody doesn't walk in and get shot. I mean, what, you know, really? A perimeter, you know, so the guy can keep shooting without being interrupted too badly. I mean, and then after all of it, you get that Scott Israel who says it's not his fault and he's cocky and arrogant. And CNN is, you know, taking all these kids who are underage. They're not even old enough to own a gun. And they're the new enigma. They're the new standard, the new hallmark of gun control. And they're, you know, they're basically expressing their disgust and frustration because the teachers and the media are teaching them how to do it. This Scott Hoag or whatever his name is that ended up being the face of this movement from this high school, there's a video of CNN filming him in an interview where he gets to, except it's not an organic interview. They made it look like it was. But he kept repeating his lines and repeating his lines. And the CNN correspondent is telling him exactly what to say. And they are literally doing take after take after take after take, just like you would if you were making a movie. He kept saying, we'll say this, we'll say that, we'll try this, we'll try it. What about that? What if we say this? What if we say that? And, you know, it's all fake. It's all put together. And then it becomes this dramatic, ridiculous, unrealistic, you know, representation of this frustrated high school kid. So needless to say, folks, I'm losing all my faith in the system. And that's, and I apologize. I have, you know, my faith in God is growing. I know that he's real. I know that he's true. I know that he's good. I know that he's got a plan. I know that he's righteous. And I know that we are literally living in some interesting times. I am, I'll even admit, I got a little bit lit up with, in other words, chewed on by the Birchers a little just for expressing some of my dissatisfaction with Trump. Well, the answer is always, well, it's a lot better than Hillary, you know. And what's crazy is, I guess if people don't know me, they don't know that I'm probably, like I said, ultra-conservative. I've been very pro-Trump. But, you know, things that Trump has said, alluding to the fact that he would consider confiscating weapons, things that have, you know, some of the signing of these bills that have gone on, or the budget at $1.3 trillion without looking at any of it, stating, well, the reason I did it is there's so much good in there for the military. It really didn't matter to me what else was in it. Well, there happened to be $500 million in it for abortion, for Planned Parenthood. And frankly, the media is really doing well. I mean, having Trump in office is, he's very much a centrist populist. And he's not a true conservative. He's never even attempted to try to control the budget spending at all. I mean, he really hasn't. And folks, I don't mean to Trump bash at all. I mean, there's advantages of him. For those of you who know me, I absolutely despise the drug war. I think it's just the biggest, craziest. You know, when you outlaw things, you just create huger problems. You create criminals, and you squelch advancement in medicine. You fill prisons full of people that cost a fortune to keep, $52,000 a year now per person in prison. Our prisons are run privately and independently, like 99% of them now. And it's just scary. I mean, it's a liberty thing. If people want to do certain things, they're going to have a right to do it. Now, some people say, well, what about meth? You know, well, obviously meth is a terrible, horrible drug. But the thing is, if drugs were legal, and don't get me wrong on this, but, you know, they would quit making it. They would probably make something that was a lot more preferable or, you know, a lot better or advanced or whatever, just like Portugal did. The point is just that there's $385 billion budget out there that they've got to keep spending. And so, you know, we get into these situations where you can't function because, you know, so many things are illegal. I talked about the antibiotics in Mexico versus the U.S. You can buy antibiotics over the counter in Mexico, and U.S. they're prescribed, and yet in the U.S. there's almost 100-to-1 per capita use of them. Depending on which study you read, anywhere from 37-to-1 to 100-to-1, I've read, and yet they can just walk into a store and buy them themselves. In America, doctors demand they take them. They demand you take antibiotics for everything, for absolutely everything. And so, you know, obviously that's not working all that well, because we're getting sicker and sicker, our diseases get stronger and so on. So I'm a big freedom lover, folks. I believe that our founding fathers believed in it. I don't think they gave the freedom of speech so people could be foul mouthed and mealy mouthed. I think that there was a sense of decency. I think that, our founders, our forefathers, required Christianity for the Constitution to work properly. And once you get away from that and you begin to add in other versions of it, of religion, it falls apart. It stops working properly. We had a Christian foundation, unquestionably. There's absolutely no question about it. Historical evidence is all over the place there. We had, you know, there were important implications for how we conceive the role of religion in our history. And people that don't know any better will try to tell you otherwise, but the role of religion in the American Republic is, you know, was absolutely necessary. So without getting too deep into that, let's jump back to something I wanted to discuss. So I talked to you about the guy up the street getting shut down by the police. That's good news, right? It's because, you know, it's what I've been talking about. I would ask again briefly if you could take the time out of your day to go and do a Google review for us. Just go online, give us a 5-star review and tell people you've had a good experience or whatever, and then give us a call. We don't mind mailing a silver dollar to you, or if you want to go to 3 reviews, that's fine. And mailing you 2 silver dollars or 2 ounces of silver. But realize we will give you a Morgan silver dollar or like a silver round or silver eagle if you give us a 5-star Google review once we verify it. So it's a win-win. It's important to us. I'm sure that a free silver dollar for 10 or 15 minutes of your time to help a friend is well worth it. I would sure hope so. And I do appreciate it. You know, I think of the fact that pearls that come out of oysters are created by irritation. They get a piece of sand in there, and it irritates the inside of the oyster. And over time, that irritation grows and grows into a beautiful, phenomenal pearl that is a very rare piece of you know, the planet that people sometimes pay big money for, depending on what type and where they come from. And in a lot of cases, God lets us go through these difficult times, you know, so that, I don't know, when we go to heaven, maybe our soul is like a pearl, you know, and maybe he'll see, you know, the levels of growth that we went through on our way there. I think, you know, God allows the difficulties to help us improve ourselves and so on. And so, and like I said, basically the banning of knives in London, folks, craziness. I really wish I had a larger outreach and I could get more people to wake up. Especially with all this TV coverage and stuff that they get, you know, what are they going to eventually take rocks away? You know, because people are throwing rocks. Now, another thing I wanted to, just a piece of news. I sometimes touch on news, sometimes I don't. Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's attorney, had another one of these notorious FBI raids today. The same thing they did to Paul Manafort and all this, folks. I mean, come on. So here's the deal. So this, whatever the porn star's name is, I can't even remember, Stormy Daniels, claims that she had a one-time fling with Trump, claims she's going to come forward with it, and Cohen, Trump's attorney, gives her $140,000, apparently right before or during the campaign, for a non-disclosure, which means to hush up. Now, when legal system, in the legal system, when people sign a non-disclosure or an agreement, it doesn't mean it's true. A lot of times it's an expedient way to get rid of a problem. A lot of times it's just a quick, easy way to dump a concern. It avoids problems is the bottom line. It, you know, and it makes sense. I mean, that's why a lot of times with medical suits that they have authorization to settle up to $50,000. $50,000 is the magic number in insurance, okay? Now, in this case, when you're dealing with Trump, who's a multi-billionaire, the guy probably had authority to spend more. Well, he spent his own money, supposedly, probably to stay within some campaign guidelines or whatever. So now, this, whatever his name is, Mueller, Robert Mueller, this special counsel is so out of control, folks. It has created so much chaos and so much mayhem during this Trump, you know, during his presidency. I can't even believe it. I mean, I cannot even believe that we're doing this. I mean, it's just never ending. This guy is chasing down every lead. So basically, he's supposed to be looking for Russian collusion and all this stuff. So he finds out, you know, and I don't know the actual laws, but supposedly, what's his name, Cohen, paid this gal some money to hush up and go away. And she, you know, is not going away, and she's not honoring the non-disclosure like she's supposed to. And so all of a sudden now Mueller is arresting him. And I mean, FBI raid, you know, kick in the door, steal everything you got. The guy's an attorney, for criminy sakes. They're saying that they took everything of the guy's, everything, all of his papers, everything. I mean, can you imagine the devastation? And I'm going to go out on a limb. Did we elect Donald Trump because we thought he was righteous and perfect? No. Is it possible for, conservative evangelical Christians to see wisdom in a leader that is not a believer? Yes. Donald Trump was the other choice, okay? Donald Trump had a lot of interesting attributes. There's things about him I definitely don't like a lot. But the fact of the matter is we elected him because he was Donald Trump and because Hillary was on the other end of the ticket. And it didn't matter. I mean, if the guy had an affair, I probably don't doubt it. It's sad. I hate to hear it. It's too bad. I'd like to think so. But, you know, I still believe that God knows Donald Trump's heart, obviously. And I still believe that God let Donald Trump end up with this position because he knew what this country needed. Trump, as I've mentioned, means final overriding factor or resource. God knew what we needed, and he brought Trump all the way from the bottom to the top. Is it possible, seriously, that somebody could rise that far and that high without God's handle on them at all? I mean, in America, this country that was founded on all these amazing, you know, beliefs and everything, I don't think so. I really don't believe so. So I do believe God chose him. And, you know, even though the man sinned, I think God knows that there's a level of purity in his heart. And don't take me wrong, I don't mean purity in the form of sinlessness. I mean purity in the form of what you see is what you get, in the form of transparency. I think Donald Trump is what you see, and there's nothing more. I think he's very shallow in a way, but he's also used to running a huge business operation, and he's probably not doing that bad of a job as the president of the United States, and I think that we need to honor that. Another thing to consider that's going on, did you notice that Donald Trump said he was going to pull out of Syria, and immediately afterwards, I mean, you know, the timing's ironic, so he says he's going to pull out of Syria, and immediately afterwards, there's this huge event where there was supposedly a chemical weapons attack on the, you know, freedom fighters or whatever they're supposed to be called in Syria. Folks, that kind of stuff makes me real suspicious. I think the rebels or whoever's getting our funding when Trump said he's pulling out, you know, they said, oh, then on Friday the peace talks broke down, and then over the weekend there's a supposed attack by Assad. I mean, we don't know what's going on both sides of that fight. And it really bothers me. The timing's too ironic. And then Russia comes out and they deny everything and all this. Folks, I'll tell you what. There is one false flag event after another that starts wars, okay? So after the pro, you know, rebel white helmets claimed over the weekend that Syria's Assad has again gassed its people. I mean, folks, this stuff bothers me. You're like, you know who the pro-white helmets are? Not NATO, whatever it is. My brain won't give it to me. So, you know, you always see the white helmets. Oh, who is it? I'm sorry. Is it NATO or is it, sorry, I can't get it right now. So they claim over the weekend that Syria's Assad has again gassed his own citizens. Okay. So, then President Trump is now threatening massive retaliation. Russia states that it would strike any source of incoming missiles into Russia or into Syria. So now ask yourself this. Is President Trump going to listen to his neocon advisors and ignore Russian warnings? Or are we about to blunder into World War III without even any evidence? Folks, think about this. We don't have evidence. Where are we getting the evidence? CNN? I mean, is it possible? I mean, have you ever seen the list of false flag events that led to war after war after war? It's terrible. I mean, it's unbelievable. You've got, I don't know. I don't have a list of them in front of me, but I mean, you've got so many different false flags when it comes to the different wars that we've gotten into. You know, there's even 9/11, there's two groups of people, those who don't know exactly what happened and those who orchestrated it, they say. nearly, you know, everyone on Earth belongs in the former category, but a lot of folks like to pretend they have a rock-solid understanding of the events that transpired on 9/11. 9/11's another day that, I mean, there's just so much that goes in. You got the Bay of Tonkin event for Vietnam. You've got, you know, the Pearl Harbor event, which was, the you know, we happen to have all of our ships lined up the most perfectly we've ever lined them up, as close to Japan as possible, unprotected, you know, on and on and on. FDR had warning after warning after warning. And you know, before we get into World War II. Of course, this is after FDR refuses to get involved because he signed a neutrality agreement with these other countries like Stalin, Soviet Union, Mussolini, whatever, whatnot, and so on. So anyway, I guess basically, folks, the problem that I'm running into is the fact that we've got so much bad information coming at us all the time that I'm frankly concerned. I mean, I'll just be candid with you. Right now, I just, you know, I'll just leave it at that. And, you know, to go to the focus of the show when I'm always out of time, you know, the Bible has provided us with timeless methods of wealth and capital preservation. And this is the one thing that I know is true. The only biblically attributed assets I've talked about before is precious metals, you know, based assets, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. You know, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. The Bible prophesies of this huge global financial meltdown and our failing Keynesian economic system, which has literally infected every nation on earth. And I'm telling you, folks, we are there. We really are there. Banks control everything from our money to our media. God's way is simple and direct. Man's way is divisive and deceptive. God's way is the only way. There are countless paper investment vehicles. And, folks, if you are in these as we head towards, I mean, we're looking at, I mentioned here recently, we are so stretched thin economically. We are so stretched thin. I mean, to the point where each one of you has $1.8 million in debt. Each of you, just on the government's back, not counting your student loans and your credit cards and all this other rubbish. You're bankrupt, all of you. Every one of us is just so bankrupt we can't even fathom it. And on top of it, you've got, you know, all this wealth dysfunction, you know, this dysfunctional wealth stuff going on, deceptive paper investments all over the place, you know, the Fed money investing, it's trouble. We're being told how great our economy is doing while our deficit spending is literally setting all-time records. Since Republicans took over, deficit spending has increased by 12.9%. When liberals have control, conservatives claim fiscal conservancy. When conservatives gain control, spending has run amok, right? The national and international levels of debt and deficit are driving us off the fiscal cliff. There are only two solutions, bankruptcy or hyperinflation. Either way, your money, your spending power is gone. There is a system set up to destroy your financial existence. I will tell you this. In Hitler's Germany, they destroyed and confiscated property like you cannot believe. The only thing that lasted was hard assets, precious metals-based assets. That's it. And yes, folks, rare coins lasted. In some cases, rare teapots lasted, or cool, you know, Roman relics and things. But the problem is when you get young soldiers coming around, you got to be careful. So, you know, you can bury hard assets, you know, precious metals-based assets you can bury in the ground. You can hide them. They're transportable. They're immediately liquid. They're recognized anywhere in the world. I've done transactions globally with gold where I've literally traveled with it and made trades with it. You know, that you got to understand this, our current situation, folks, it will not last. There's no theory to challenge its foolish recklessness. if you, you know, you just have to understand how the Fed uses fractional reserve banking to run tenfold multiples of our deficit while using the inflation to confiscate the wealth of U.S. and the now global citizens to push us into a state of dire destruction and eventual totalitarianism. Although the situation's dire, we're blessed with historical knowledge and evidence that precious metals-based assets will always sustain throughout every economic challenge with, you know, and we've supposedly got stocks up, the dollar's falling, and precious metals-based assets at value levels. We all have to address this reality before the inevitable collapse leaves us no option. A little bit dire, I understand, but truthful. Folks, we're there. Things happen fast. I've said frauds end suddenly. We are not going to go in for a soft landing. Trump could very well be the guy that walks us into something bad. The entire Muslim religion hangs its hat on Armageddon, on World War III. That's what they believe is going to bring their Mahdi to the surface. They want it, okay? They want it. They're going to do everything to get it. Unfortunately, this is the world we live in, okay? I know it's a little dire, but folks, just do the right thing. Just own precious metals assets. At least have your money secure. If all hell breaks loose, and you know it's got to, and the markets collapse and everything else, you're safe. You're safe. You've got what God uses. It's good enough for God's heaven. It was good enough for Christ on earth. It's good enough for us. So I'm just encouraging you, folks. It's simple. It's not a pitch. Do not buy annuities. Do not buy annuities. Say that to yourself 10 times. They are the biggest deception out there. I do thank you for your loyalty and for tuning in. And please keep praying for us. We discussed that. Pray. We appreciate it. Name your son. Thanks. Bye.